Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 38 and 39 with me. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." He says, "The just shall live by faith." The New Living Translation of that verse 38 says, "And my righteous ones will live by faith." God's righteous ones, it says, will live by faith. You know, this statement, "the just shall live by faith," that is originally from the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. In the book of Habakkuk, it says, "the just shall live by faith." And that's repeated three times in the New Testament. It's repeated here in the book of Hebrews. Paul uses it in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 17. And he also uses it in Galatians, chapter 3, verse 11. "The just," or "the righteous, shall live by faith." Now, we know that that's talking about us. So I wouldn't say that about myself. I wouldn't say that I'm righteous. Well, you must not be saved then. Because if you're saved, then you've been made righteous. You've been given the gift of righteousness. Righteousness is not anything that we can earn or that we can attain to. It is a gift that we receive when we believe. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord, then we are given the gift of righteousness. We are made righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that statement, "the just shall live by faith," it's repeated, it's recurring three times in the New Testament. Anytime God repeats himself three times, you know what the message is? Pay attention. Get this. Amen. It's important. Amen. He wants you to know, you and I to know, that he wants us, that we are to live by faith. That we are to live by faith. But then he says here, it says, "If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." And so it's possible, and we've probably all done it from time to time, to draw back from that walk of faith, to draw back from that life of faith. And I'm going to identify this morning two things that cause people, that cause us to draw back and not continue to live by faith. Those two things are, number one, yielding to fear, and number one, being controlled by our feelings. So we want to talk about those things this morning that would cause us to draw back and not live by faith. If we can identify them and deal with them, then that means we overcome those things and we continue to live by faith. We're not going to be yielding to fear. We're not going to be controlled by our feelings, but we're going to be living by faith. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's possible. It's not only possible, but I'm going to do this. I'm a doer of the word. It's not unattainable." Amen. That's right. Praise God. And so when we talk about fear, fear is the direct opposite of faith. It's a polar opposite of faith. And so, you know, we got hit last week with the polar vortex. They said that's what happened. Somebody left the door open up at the North Pole, and that polar vortex shot all that cold air down here. Well, there's a North Pole and there's a South Pole. They're opposites, aren't they? They're opposites. Well, fear and faith, let's put faith on top. Faith and fear are opposites. They're opposites. Fear is faith in the devil's words. That's what fear is. It's faith. It's believing the devil's words. Fear is believing what the devil says about you, what the devil says is going to happen to you. Faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. So when we hear God's word, that produces faith. If we hear and accept the devil's word, that's going to produce fear. Faith attracts the blessings of God into our lives. The Bible says all this, it says, through faith, by grace are you saved, through faith. Through faith. Well, it's through faith that we receive the blessings of God. It's faith that draws or that attracts the blessings of God into our life. Well, that opposite of fear attracts the works of Satan into our life. In fact, that's what happened to Job. Look at Job chapter 3, verse 25 with me. Job 3, verse 25. Look at what Job said. A lot of people, you know, debated about the book of Job and why it happened and how it happened and all of this. I believe the key to the book of Job is a statement that Job made that's recorded in chapter 3 and verse 25. This is the key that unlocks and helps us understand the book of Job. Why could something so bad happen to someone that was a good person? Why could these bad things happen? Well, Job got into fear. Job got into fear. You could be a good person. You could be a godly person. But if you yield to fear and allow fear to control your life, something bad is liable to happen. Because fear attracts the works of Satan into our lives. Job said in Job here in Job 3:25, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." So Job wasn't living by faith. Job wasn't operating in faith. There was an element of fear and dread that he was living under. And that's why when Satan came to God and said and told God to strike Job, and God said, well, if you'll just open up your eyes, devil, all that he's opened up the door himself. What he has is in your power, it's in your hand. And so Job was operating in fear, he was operating in dread, which is the opposite of hope. Faith and hope work together. Hope is a confident and favorable expectation, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we have faith and we have hope working together to bring the blessings of God into our lives. Well, fear and dread work together in the same way. Dread is an expectation of something bad going to happen. Amen? So we see how fear is this opposite of faith. Job's operating in fear. Look at another scripture in Mark chapter 5 with me concerning fear. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 35, it says, talking about Jesus, it says, while Jesus was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" So this is Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. He's come to Jesus. He's asked Jesus to heal his daughter. He said, "Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." And so Jesus is on his way there. And so while they're on the way to Jairus' house, a messenger comes and he says, "Don't trouble the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead." Well, that's bad news. That's enough to put fear in anyone's heart, isn't it? To hear those words. Notice how Jesus responded. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Do not be afraid, only believe. Notice how Jesus countered and counseled Jairus here to counter that bad news that brought fear to his heart and mind. He said, "Do not be afraid." So yielding to fear is a choice then, isn't it? Yielding to fear is a choice. He said, "Do not be afraid." If Jairus had no choice but to be afraid, then Jesus, you know, couldn't have told him, "Don't be afraid." But yielding to that fear, now fear can come to all of us. The Bible says about Jehoshaphat that, you know, bad news came to him, and the Bible says, and he feared, but he set himself to seek the Lord. The news of that immediately brought fear, you know, to Jairus. But he said, "You know, I'm not going to yield to this fear. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm not going to give in to this fear. I'm going to seek the Lord." I'm sure immediately fear gripped Jairus' heart. But Jesus said, "No, don't let it get a hold of you. Don't let it control you. Don't yield to it. Don't yield to it. Only believe. Don't be afraid, only believe." Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, that's good news for us. That's good counsel for us today. Don't be afraid, only believe. Choose not to yield to fear. Choose to believe God. Choose to stay. Now, Jairus was in faith, wasn't he? He had already made a declaration of faith. He said, "You come and lay your hands on my daughter and she will live. She will be healed and she will live." He's already in a place of faith. Well, you know, sometimes when we step into a place of faith, that's when Satan attacks with fear. Why? Because he knows that our faith is going to work. He has more faith in our faith than we have faith in our faith. He knows that it works. Sometimes we don't. He's operating in the realm of the Spirit. He can see things going on there. We don't see into that realm. And so we only see what's going on in the natural realm. We don't see a lot of times how powerful our faith is. We don't see how powerful we are in Christ. But He sees it, and He tries to stop it. And so when we're believing God, then He will come with an attack of fear to try to stop us from believing. Jesus said, nope, don't yield to that. Don't yield to the fear. Only believe. Just keep believing. Just keep believing. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Don't allow fear. And of course, we know the end of the story. His daughter was raised up. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So don't allow fear to dominate you. The Bible says we've not been given a spirit of fear. Amen? You know it, 2 Timothy 1:7. Look at what it says. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God's given us, power and love and a sound mind. You know, other religions are fear-based. You know, when you look at the one that comes to mind, I'm sure there are many others that are, but particularly if you look at Islam, such a fear-based religion. People is living in fear. That's why the fruit of committed Islam, right? They call it radicalism. Well, it's they're literally following what the Quran says. That's why the fruit of that is terrorism, because it's fear based. People doing things out of fear and trying to instill fear. True Christianity. Listen to this. True Christianity is faith and love based.
Yes, amen. Yep.
True Bible Christianity is not fear. Now, there's a lot of Christians that have thought, you know, and misinterpreted the Bible and thought that God was mad at them and God was mean and they're living in fear, afraid of what God might do to them. But if you get a true revelation of God and a true revelation of His heart, then you find that real Christianity is faith based and love based. Amen. Look at what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Look at that with me, if you would. 1 John 4, 16. This is out of the New Living Translation. We know how much God loves us. Do you? Do you? Everybody look this way. Do you? Do you know? Do you really know how much God loves you? We need to get to know that. We say we do, but do we? Do we really walk in that revelation? Well, we need to. Why? Because that'll help our faith. It'll drive the fear out, as we're about to see. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. Have you? Have we? We know how much God loves us. Do we? And we have put our trust in His love. Have we? If not, we should. Amen? Do I know how much God loves me? If not, I should. Well, that's a revelation we need to continue to dwell in. How much God loves you. How much God loves you. And we put our trust in what? In our faith. No, in His love. Our faith is in His love. Amen? God is love, and all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Don't you want to walk that scripture out? We live like Jesus here in this world. Do you know that's possible too? You can live like Jesus here in this world. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 18, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. Hallelujah. When you know how much God loves you, it will expel all the fear. Amen.
Amen.
If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. Amen. God's not out to punish you. Amen. God laid the punishment, the judgment of our sin, of my sin, of your sin, He laid it on Jesus. Amen. Now there's another side to that. It doesn't mean, well, that means good. I can just live anyway. I can just do anything. No, it doesn't mean that. There's another side to it, certainly. But he says if we're afraid, if we're afraid that God's mad at us, if we're afraid, you know, God's doing something bad to us, it means that we've not fully experienced His perfect love. Amen? Because God's love will expel all fear. So get a revelation. Just make a decision right now that you're going to say, Heavenly Father, reveal your love to me. That comes through relationship. That comes through getting to know Him better. Amen? Let Him reveal His love to you. Praise God. You know, I thought about in this, in thinking about fear and about how fear causes us to draw back and not live by faith, I thought about the story of David and Goliath in the Old Testament. You know, the children of Israel, they were in fear. You know, the Bible gives us a picture that the army of Israel was on one side of the valley and the army of the Philistines was on the other side of the valley, and they were playing Red Rover. Red Rover, Red Rover, says Goliath, you know, come over. You know? And so Goliath was taunting them from his side of the valley, and the children of Israel were on the other side, and they weren't saying too much. They were just kind of shaking in fear. And so David came up to the battlefield. He was there just to deliver some supplies to his brothers. And he heard him talking about, he heard Goliath come out and defy them. Goliath came out and he said, hey, send me out someone to fight. And he said, we'll just fight one-on-one. And if I whip you, then y'all will be our servants. If your man whips me, then we'll be your servants. And so he was issuing that challenge every day for 40 days. Children of Israel were there shaking. David came up and he heard that. And David said, hey, wait a minute. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? See, the children of Israel were paralyzed over that fear. They were afraid to act. See, that's what fear does. It paralyzes you. It paralyzes you. Keeps you from acting. Keeps you from stepping out. Keeps you from moving forward. And so, it robbed them. Fear robs us of our strength. That fear had robbed the children of Israel of any strength or courage that they had to step out and face Goliath. But David was operating in faith. Praise God. David was operating and living by faith and moving in faith. And that's why he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? So how could David operate in faith and not allow that fear to grip his heart? If we can find that out, then we can find out how we can operate in faith and not allow fear to grip our hearts today. Yep. Two things. Number one, David knew that he had a covenant with God. David knew that God loved him. Amen. David knew that God loved him. David knew that he had a covenant with God. That's why he called Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine. He wasn't referring to anything medically or regarding his anatomy. He was talking about the covenant. This guy, I don't care how tall he is, he doesn't have a covenant with God. And I don't care how small you feel you are, you have a covenant with God, David was saying. See, the children of Israel were comparing themselves to Goliath. David was comparing Goliath to God. Amen. So he knew he had a covenant with God. He knew that God loved him. And then number two, David knew, get this now, David knew that he had experienced God's protection and deliverance in the past. And he knew God would do it again. He said to King, when he volunteered for the mission, he said, I want you to know. He said, I was out keeping my father's sheep and a bear came up and I killed it. And a lion came up to take the sheep away and I took it, I grabbed it by its beard and I killed it. Hallelujah. He said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, the Lord, he will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Amen. So think back. Now, anybody in here, can you testify that God has brought you through things? That God has been with you? That you've seen God's deliverance? That you've seen God's power? That you've seen God's provision? Amen. You need to rehearse that when the enemy comes and tries to bring fear. You need to rehearse. You need to remember where God has brought you from, what God has done for you in the past. Hallelujah. You need to say like David, the Lord that delivered me from the lion and from the bear, he will deliver me now. Amen. Hallelujah. So God loves you. God has made a covenant with you through Jesus. God has provided for you. God has brought you out. God has been with you. He'll do it again.
Amen.
He'll do it again. Amen?
Amen?
Don't let fear cause you to draw back. Live in faith. Live in faith. Let's talk about feelings for a minute. If we're going to live by faith, we cannot allow our feelings to control us. We can't be led by our feelings. We can't determine if God has heard our prayers or if God is working on our behalf based on how we feel. Because our feelings can deceive us. And I want to help you here. Some folks get confused about that. There's a difference between not feeling anything and going ahead and acting on the Word of God. Going ahead and acting on faith even when you don't feel anything. Some people confuse that with, well, I'm just making this up. This is not real, and I want to be real. I don't want there to be anything fake in my life. That's not the same. Some people confuse that, and they end up allowing their feelings to dominate them. Well, if I don't feel this, then it's not real. Well, that's not necessarily true. In fact, it's not true. Amen. Yeah, we don't want to just go through the motions. Certainly not. We want our heart to be in it. But your heart can be in something. And you can do it because you know it's the right thing to do and not have any feeling whatsoever and say, you know, I don't feel anything right now, but I'm going to act in faith. I have faith in God that as I act on the Word of God, God is working in my behalf, even though I don't feel anything, even though I don't have any evidence. Now, that's what we should do. That's not the same as, oh, well, just going through the motions here. You have no heart or faith in it there. So don't let the devil deceive you and say, well, just because you don't feel anything, that means it's not real to you, so just keep your hands down and your mouth shut, you know, and come back tomorrow and maybe you'll feel better. No, no. Does that help anybody?
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Amen.
Amen. We cannot allow our feelings. Our feelings are real. We don't deny that we have feelings, but we shouldn't be controlled or dominated by our feelings. Amen.
Amen.
Feeling is the voice of the body. Your spirit has a voice. That's your conscience. Your soul has a voice. That's your reasoning. Your feelings have a voice, or your body has a voice. That's your feelings. Feeling is in our emotions. Look at in John chapter 20. Remember, Jesus had a disciple named Thomas. Remember that? Remember him? Oh, well, yeah. Everybody, I'm sure he might not like that if you get to hell. Oh, hey, I recognize you. You're Doubting Thomas. He might not appreciate that if you greet him that way when you get to heaven. Now, this is something I read. Look at verse 24 here. Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So he wasn't there when Jesus appeared after his resurrection. You know, I noticed this as I was preparing and studying this. Thomas was called the twin. Now, that's kind of strange. The twin. Well, in my experience, usually there's two of them. There's a baseball team. They're not called the Minnesota Twin. They're called the Twins. Usually if there's a twin, there's another twin somewhere, right? We have no record that of the other twin. And I looked for it. I thought, well, was the other twin one of Jesus' disciples? It was because Jesus did have brothers. You know, Peter and Andrew, James and John were on his team. But here we've got this guy called the twin. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe he was schizophrenic. Why did they call him the twin? Which one are you today? Are you believing Thomas or are you doubting Thomas? That might have been the case. I don't know. Anyway, for some reason, they called him the twin. That's just kind of odd. Just kind of stood out to me. He was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25, then the other disciples therefore said to him, "We've seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hand the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, what is, hold your hand out, John. Let's say John is Jesus. Thomas said, "Unless I put my hand in," that's not so far-fetched. Come on.
Oh, well.
"And unless I put my," what is that? That's feeling, isn't it? We could say it another way. "Unless I feel, I will not believe. Unless I see and I feel, I will not believe." Now, Jesus was so gracious to him. Verse 26, "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas," all right, "reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing."
Amen.
And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed." Look at this now. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And we could just as accurately say, blessed as those who have not felt and yet have believed. See, we can't allow our feelings to control us. We can't allow our feelings to determine whether or not we believe. Thomas was not commended for the fact that he said, "I got to feel it." Now, Jesus was merciful and gracious to him. He said, "All right, you know, I'll let you feel it. I'll let you feel me." Amen. But that's not God's best. Amen. He says, "Blessed are those who've not seen, not felt, yet have believed." I want to read you some quotes from what two great men of God said about feelings and faith. One of them is Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth?
Yes.
Some of you may have, some of you may not have heard of Wigglesworth. He was an uneducated plumber, actually, in England in the early 1900s. And he got saved and got filled with the Holy Spirit and became one of the greatest and mightiest preachers an evangelist of his time. A number of people were raised from the dead under his ministry. Talk about a man of faith. This was a man of faith. Here's what Wigglesworth said about feelings. "I understand God by His Word. I cannot understand God by impressions or feelings. I cannot get to know God by sentiments. If I'm going to know God, I'm going to know Him by His Word. I know I shall be in heaven, but I could not build on my feelings that I'm going to heaven. I am going to heaven because God's Word says it."
Amen.
And I believe God's Word.
Yes.
See, sometimes folks, when they receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, they say, well, I don't feel saved. I don't feel saved. Sometimes people, they hear someone's testimony of how they had a dramatic experience. "Well, I didn't have that. I just prayed the prayer, you know, and just asked Jesus in my heart. I didn't feel anything, but I wonder if I'm really saved." Well, Wigglesworth was a great man of God. People were raised from the dead under his ministry. He saw some great things happen. He said, "You know, I don't base it on feelings. I'm going to heaven because God's Word. I believe God's Word. And I did what the Word of God did on the Word of God. It said, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and you shall be saved." That's how I know I'm going to heaven, because I acted on that. You remember, anybody know who Bill Bright is? Campus Crusade for Christ. Brother Bryant went home to be with the Lord a few years ago, but he founded Campus Crusade for Christ, and he had the, remember the little booklet, the Four Spiritual Laws? Anybody ever see the Four Spiritual Laws booklet? Remember the little train, you know, the train cars? And the three train cars were, I think he used the word fact for the Word of God, right? Fact, feelings, and faith. And he said people get these out of order. They try to put feelings first. He said, but the order you put this in is the fact or the truth of God's Word. God's Word first, and then your faith in the Word of God, and then the feelings are the caboose. The feelings come after. If we try to put the feelings first, then we're going to get all confused. I may not feel saved. I may not feel like God heard my prayer. But if I base my faith on what God's Word says, here's a great one, 1 John 5. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. This is 1 John 5:14. Mark it down. It's not in my notes here. I don't know if they'll get it up on the screen or not. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have. The next verse says, if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. That says nothing about feelings. It says we ask according to His will. Well, what's His will? His Word is His will. So if I ask Him according to His Word, He hears me. If I know that He hears me, I know I have it, whether I feel like I have it or not, whether I see a vision or not. Amen? Are you out there? Wigglesworth goes on to say, he says, the first thing I did, this is after he got filled with the Holy Spirit. The first thing I did was to telegraph to my home saying, I have received the baptism in the Holy Ghost and have spoken in tongues.
Hallelujah.
On the train to my hometown, the devil began questioning, are you going to take this to Bradford? He lived in Bradford, England. As regards my feelings at the moment, I had nothing to take. He's sitting there on the train. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit. And the devil says, you're going to take this back with you to Bradford? You're going to spread this message? You're going to spread this experience? He said, when I checked my feelings right then, he said, I had nothing to take. I had nothing to take. But the just, Wigglesworth says, but the just do not live by feelings, but by faith. So I shouted out on the railroad coach to everybody's amazement, yes, I'm taking it. So he's sitting there on the train, you know, he's riding along in the train, and the devil comes to him and speaks to his mind, you think you're going to take this to Bradford, do you? Yes, I'm taking it. This blurts it out. People don't know what he's talking about. A great joy filled me as I made this declaration. That's significant. A great joy filled me as I made this declaration. And then Wigglesworth goes on to say, there are times when there seems to be a stone wall in front of us. There are times when there are no feelings. There are times when everything seems as black as midnight and there is nothing left by confidence in God. What you must do is have the devotion and confidence to believe that He will not fail and cannot fail. You will never get anywhere if you depend on your feelings. There is something 1,000 times better than feelings, and it is the powerful Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Listen to what the counsel of this great and wise man of God. There is a divine revelation within you that came when you were born from above, and this is real faith. Amen. Kenneth E. Hagin, who was my spiritual mentor, and he didn't know Wigglesworth personally, but he followed him through his writings and his books and read after him and followed his teaching closely. Dad Hagin, who has a tremendous testimony in his own right, he said this. He said, too many people try to get acquainted with God through their personal feelings. When they feel good, they think God has heard their prayers. If they don't feel particularly good, they think He has not heard them. Their faith is based on their feelings, whereas it should be based on God's Word. If our faith is based upon feelings, then we are just using a natural human faith. We cannot get spiritual results with natural human faith. We have weapons that are not carnal, mighty in God. We have to use scriptural faith, Bible faith, believing in God's Word. If our faith is based upon the Word of God, then we believe the Word regardless of evidences that would satisfy our physical senses. Anybody get that? I certainly believe in feeling, but I put it last. Like Bill Bright did. Put the feeling car is the caboose. God's Word comes first, faith in God's Word second, and feeling last. Too many people turn it around and put feeling up front, faith in their feelings second, and the Word of God last. Feelings, I read this just the other day, and I'm going back and reading one of his books, I Believe in Visions, the title of the book. Here's what he said in this. This is powerful, I think. Feelings and faith are far removed from each other. However, and sometimes when you feel you have the least faith, that is when you have the most. Did you hear that? Sometimes when you feel you have the least faith, that is when you have the most. Praise God. Remember that. You may need that someday. When you feel you have the least faith, that's when you have the most. I've heard Brother Hagin said the most outstanding miracles that he witnessed in his ministry of God using him to minister to or pray for other people came, he said, I did not feel a thing. I did not feel a thing. I remember Reverend Keith Moore, some of you familiar with him. He used to travel with Brother Hagin and assist him in his ministry. And I remember Keith Moore sharing that they were riding in a car somewhere. And I guess they're sitting in the back. Somebody's driving them. And all of a sudden, Brother Hagin starts slapping his knee and said, woo, 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 woo. Turned to Brother Keith and said, did you feel that? And Brother Keith said, well, no, sir, I didn't. I'm trying to get him to say, did you feel God? Did you? Brother Hagin looked at him and laughed and said, I didn't feel a thing either. He's just testing him. To see if he'd try to play along. Oh, well, you know, if I'm really spiritual, Brother Hagin's really spiritual, so if he felt something, then if I'm going to be spiritual, then I should be feeling it too. Brother Hagin's, no, I didn't feel a thing either. Hallelujah. One more scripture here, Romans chapter 4. Abraham, we read about him, we see about his example. Abraham was not controlled by his feelings. He's a great example in that. God had been dealing with Abraham. You know, he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he made him promises, and he began to lead his life. And he first spoke to him when he was about 75, and when he was 99 years old. When he was 99 years old, go back and read it in Genesis 17, I think it is. We won't take time to look at that this morning, but we'll go to Romans 4 and the commentary on it that Paul wrote. But and he spoke to him when he was 99, and Sarah was, well, she was about 90, right, I think at the time. And he said, you're going to have a baby. You and Sarah are going to have. Now, Ishmael was already around at this time. And when God first told him, he laughed. And he said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. He couldn't quite believe it, but he started believing it. Amen. You know, you might not, when God first speaks to you or when you find a promise in His Word, you might not at first, you might not believe it, but you just stay with it and God will help you to believe it. Amen. Amen. That's your victory. That's your deliverance. God's trying to get it to you. So believe Him. Amen.
Amen.
Believe His Word. So Abraham started believing that what God said. He said, You and Sarah, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a baby. Verse 19 of Romans 4, we'll pick it up there. It says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. What is that? That's feelings, isn't it? He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, He, God, was also able to perform. The Bible says he's our example of faith, that he's the father of faith. And it says, I like what one preacher said one time, if you want to understand this verse, take the knots out. Back in verse 19, it says, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. So if we take the knots out, and being weak in faith, he did consider his own body. If you want to be weak in faith, then be governed by your feelings. If you want to be weak in faith and your faith never receive and never be fulfilled, then consider your own body. In other words, be controlled by your feelings. It says, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body and the deadness of Sarah's womb. That was the circumstances. That was the feelings. He said, you know, I'm not going to be governed by that.
Amen.
I'm not going to be controlled by that. Sure, he was almost 100. Sure, she was barren. And through all their time, even in their prime childbearing years, they were not able to have children. Now God says, because of my promise, you will. How many believe God can change things? It might have been that way for 99 years. But from this day forward, I'll bless you. Well, it's always been this way. And this has always run in my family, and I've always been like this, and we've never had much, and we've always struggled financially. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Amen? They can change. It can change. It doesn't have to stay that way. Amen? Get a hold of God's word and God's promise. Hallelujah. Don't let your feelings govern you. Don't let your feelings control you. Choose to believe the promise of God contrary to what your feelings are telling you. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Our feelings can deceive us. Anybody ever found that to be true? Our feelings can deceive us. We cannot be, I'm not saying suppress your feelings or don't have any emotions. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying don't let them guide and govern your life. Amen. That's one part of our being. God created us. Spirit, soul, and body, that is one part of our being and in our lives, amen. But we're not to be governed,
amen,
by our feelings. We're not to be controlled by our feelings. We're to get our feelings sanctified,
yes,
amen. We're to get our feelings in the proper flow here, amen, to where they're following along, not leading them. They were not designed. God did not design you to be led by your feelings. He designed you to be led through your spirit, through His spirit speaking to your spirit. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. That's how He designed us to be led. Amen? Praise God. We're led by faith, by our faith. We're led by the Holy Spirit, and we can be led by our own commitment and our own integrity. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the integrity of the upright will guide him. Amen? I heard the tornado sirens going off yesterday morning. I was up in Dawson County, and they were under a tornado warning. So I got a text on my phone that said, tornado warning in your area. And then I heard the sirens going off, and so I turned the radio on. And Walter Reeves had been on there. He was just, and I had had it on earlier. And so anyway, I heard about the tornado, then they gave that information. Then Walter Reeves and the gardening show. Anybody know who Walter Reeves is? Well, he was celebrating. Is it 20 years yesterday? I don't know if it's 20 years. I wasn't paying attention to that. Some milestone anniversary of him being on the radio. And he said this. He said, you know, he said, I get up. He said, no, that's not. He said, some of you, this is no big deal. I only have to do it once a week. He said, but I have to get up at 5 o'clock. He said, now, for a person that's used to getting up at 7:30, it's a big deal. He said, but I get up at 5 o'clock. I come down here to the station. You know, he said, I've been doing this for 20 years. He said, I've never been late. I've never been late in 20 years. Somebody called in and said, congratulations, Walter. They said, showing up is half the battle. Walter replied, he said, I think it's 3/4 of the battle. You know there's a lot of truth in that. Just showing up. If you'll just get up and show up, that's half the battle, or that's 3/4 of the battle. Well, Walter probably didn't feel like it every Saturday for those 20 years or 30 years or whatever it's been, he probably didn't feel like it every Saturday morning at 5 o'clock when the alarm went off. If it had been governed by his feelings, he would not have celebrated 20 years of being on the air. Amen. If you're, you know, how many of you, your employer takes that as a good excuse? If you call in, well, you know, I just didn't feel like Just didn't feel like it. Does that fly? No. Well, we shouldn't use it as an excuse with God. All right, well, I just didn't feel like it. Just don't feel like worshiping you today, Lord. Well, he's just as worthy as he was the day you felt like it. Our, his, our worship of him should be based on his worthiness, not on our feelings anyway. Well, I just didn't feel like believing your word today. Amen. Now, we're to be led by the Holy Spirit, led by our faith, and led by our commitment and by our integrity. Amen. Not by our feelings. There's a place for feelings, but we were not designed to be led by them. Praise God. Let's don't draw back. Let's don't allow fear. Let's don't allow our feelings to cause us to draw back. Amen. Let's pray.